the gracious Prophet, the merciful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a brother to another person, for example, all Muslims are brothers, aren't we? If any Muslim brother to another Muslim brother, if he presents a reason, what does that mean? It means that if you understand it this way, that the society that we're based in, that we're present in, home, outside, wife, children, friend, relatives, inside the house, outside our society, we are present in this society. So in this society, a person, sometimes he may have a dispute with somebody or a quarrel, somebody spoke loudly to somebody else or shouted at somebody, or you've committed an excess, you've done wrong to somebody, you've wronged somebody, for example. Or there are ups and downs in the relationships. It happens in society. It's all part of life. It's lazim. It's a must at home, amongst children, with the wife, with the offspring, with relatives. It happens between people. So if this happens, that if a person, if he realizes, if he feels that, oh, I said this to this person, and he goes to that person and presents himself an excuse, he tries to excuse himself or presents a justification or a reason, and he said, oh, I said this to you, I'm very sorry, if you can please excuse me. We'll say this isn't in English, in this language here. In Urdu we'll say, please mujhe maaf kar de, mazrat, I am in need of your forgiveness. In Gujarati I don't know what you say. So this is what the hadith is explaining to us. So this is the showing the character. The hadith, there's an individual, a brother, and with another person, small or big, or some issue occurred, and he feels, and he goes to that person, and presents himself, and seeks an excuse, seeks to be excused, that, so I made a mistake, I don't know what I was thinking at that time, I misunderstood, I didn't know what you were saying, I misunderstood what you were saying, could be any reason, any excuse. Oh, I wanted to say something else to you, you were saying something else to me, and this slipped out of my mouth. He's presenting his excuse, his reason. I didn't mean to say this or for this to happen. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated about the society, with regards to this, if a person, brother, goes to the other person, the other man, and presents his excuse, his reason, his justification, and if the other person, if he with regards to that request for forgiveness, if he doesn't accept it, yes, so he's trying to excuse himself, though, I was thinking this, I'm sorry I said this, I didn't say this to for this reason, I was actually saying it to somebody else, or I meant something else. Thousands of things can happen, different reasons. And if the other person doesn't accept his reason, justification, and says, I don't believe you, and he doesn't accept his request for forgiveness, his excuse. Two words I'm presenting here. Two words. He doesn't accept his request for forgiveness, and he doesn't accept the excuse. Excuse. So what's the second thing? That an individual, such a person, that he feels remorse, regret, I've said something wrong, and he didn't have to accept it. He didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to ponder over it. Oh, leave it. It's all right. If something's happened, happens, doesn't it? Oh, leave it, forget it, I don't care, it's happened now. What's he going to do to me? What's he going to spoil about me? Who is he? What can he do to me? Leave him. Even if I've said this, doesn't matter. Mostly this is all, look at me, look where he is, I'm higher than him. I've said it, I've said fine. Yeah, it's my right, it's my status. I'm the malik, I'm the owner, he's an employee. If I've told him off, so what? Yeah, these are feelings and emotions in society, but the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing tarbiyah, say subhanallah. This is Islam. This is Islam. Islam isn't just praying salah. Islam isn't just salah. Islam isn't just Hajj Umrah. Islam isn't just reciting Quran. It's practicing the Quran. That is Islam. Practicing the Quran. Yes? To implement the Quran. The Quran hasn't come for recitation, it's come for amal, for practice in the grave. Hazrat Sahib, my Shaykh, said that in the qabr, Hazrat Sahib Rahmatullah said that you won't be asked in the qabr, why didn't you do hifz of Quran? Why didn't you memorize Quran? This won't be asked from you. You will be asked that why didn't you do amal on the Quran, say subhanAllah. Why didn't you practice the Quran? Shaitan, he's made us blind from this fact. Yes, this is Shaitan's objective. He wants to deviate us from the objective, and he'll try his hardest to take us with him. So he has demoted this amal so much. He has demoted this amal so much. Understand the point. The Quran, the whole of the Quran is saying, I've been revealed for this person. I'm a constitution. Ihdina sirat al mustaqeem. That the Quran says right in the beginning, you have to take guidance from me. And where will you get guidance from? From this Quran. Directly. Yes, wherever you get stuck in life, the Quran is a total guidance for your life. It's a guidance for your life. And not just this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whichever makhluk creation He has sent to the world, ajeeb, beautiful point. All of the creation in the universe, Allah has prepared guidance for that creation. Let me explain this to you. Understand this point. All of the creation in the universe, Allah has prepared the guidance, hidayah for them. Very small ant has a total, complete constitution. The ant knows I'll have children, a wife, I'll get sick, where will I go, what do I do? For his hidayah, the ant, Allah has prepared that for a spider, for a parrot, for a snake, for birds. If I tell you in hadith, in detail, it will be a lengthy discussion. But every form of creation, Allah has prepared hidayah. That is makhluk, and ashraf al-makhluk, the human being. Has Allah Ta'ala not prepared guidance for the human being? Say subhanallah. Of course He has. Hasn't He? What a massive preparation and guidance Allah has set aside for the human beings in the world. Subhanallah. Quran and Nabi al-Kareem, some statements, instructions. Two things, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, both guidance, paths of guidance, my brothers. So this is not the argument, was he hazir, nazir, not present, etc. Who's asking us this? Who's asking us this? Who'll ask you how many juz did you memorize, how many sipala did you memorize, how much do you know about the Quran? Not about the Quran, not about the Holy Prophet, was he hazir, ghaib, did he have the knowledge of this and that? About the Quran, it will be asked of you, did you do amal in the Quran? And about the Holy Prophet, it will be asked of you, did you implement the sunnah? Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And this shaitan has put his hand, we put our hand on, no, it's not necessary. Why is it necessary to keep the beard? Forget this. Why sunnah if we don't practice sunnah? What will happen? What's the worst case if we don't pray? The Prophet ﷺ's connection with us, our amal. How much shaitan has degraded. It's only sunnah, isn't it? What difference does it make if you don't do it? No problem. If you do it, fine. If you don't do it, fine. If you practice it, fine. If you don't practice, fine. A mu'min saying this, it's just sunnah. It's just sunnah. What is this? That his connection is with who? The Holy Prophet ﷺ. And his son, sunnah, he's not practicing with who? Which, with the greatest personalities. And we say it's only a minor thing. So okay, say, Mama, it's not important. It's alright if you put it aside. Don't worry, it doesn't matter. If you worry, it doesn't matter. Is this our feeling inside or not? Then tomorrow, what answer will you give about the Quran? What preparation have we made for the hereafter? Tell me. This qabr, the grave, there's only one preparation. Quran. Quran. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ's instructions, guidance, whoever prepares his whole life to prepare this. People spend their whole life, every second and practice, every second action is according to the Quran and the Sunnah and Sharia. That may no action of mine be away from whatever is revealed in the Quran and the Holy Prophet ﷺ. This is reading Quran. This is reading Quran with amal. That's why it's come. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ, connection with him, ashik, love him. Connection with him. All things keep to yourself. I'm a ashik, I'm a lover, I'm this. You'll be asked one thing. Man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani. That I will love you for this reason. If you love my sunnah, then I will love you, said Rasulullah. We don't have that. So, going back to this point, two things here. Rasulullah said in this hadith. Remember the hadith? I'll explain to you. I'm speaking to you. That on one side, there's a person, an individual. He goes to the other person, second person. So what's the difference between the two? Immediately, look how Rasulullah has explained to us the immediate difference between the two. This is Islam. This is practice, alhamdulillah. And that's why we're gathered here. That's why we're assembled. That's our objective. What I'm explaining to you. This is our objective. There's no other objective of doing dhikr. Say subhanallah. There's no other objective. Whenever you get the cure for something, when a person, he's got a disease, illness, dangerous illness, coronavirus. He's afflicted and he's hardly breathing. Someone comes, he goes, oh, I've got the cure for coronavirus. Oh, yeah, please tell me. Please quickly give me the cure, the medicine. And that person who's got coronavirus, he'll immediately consume that medicine, that cure, isn't it? So subhanallah. That this hadith I've explained to you, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us the cure, dhikrullah. Dhikrullah, for which we are sad. This is cure. Dhikrullah is a cure. This is the cure for our destruction. Think. Allah's Nabi says some blessed statement. He's telling us something and it's coming to us, which is called hadith. It's not a minor statement. It's deen. It's religion. The whole society's solution sketch. And this now has been distributed across our society. On one side we have that person who's representing who? That whoever. Go, that for example, if you committed excess, you broke somebody's right, or done, oppressed somebody, wronged somebody, and you present yourself and you seek to be excused. And the second person who doesn't accept his excuse, and he doesn't embrace the request for forgiveness. What a difference between the two. Big difference, isn't it? And if we look at ourselves, which side are we on? Do we have that sincerity? Do we have that feeling, remorse? But there's big question. We'll say big statements, I pray tahajjud, I'm pious, I do this action, that action. That have you ever had this feeling within that we should have the feeling that for my sister, brother, someone above me, below me, society, relative, neighbor, someone who I know, somebody I don't know, Muslim, non-Muslim, no differentiation. No differentiation. This is character, akhlaq of Islam, universal. Universal. There's no restriction, Jew or this Christian or that, this religion, that faith. No. Islam doesn't differentiate. Islam looks first that they are all the children of Adam alayhi salam. First look at that. Human beings, Allah has created every insan, human being. So what does this mean? What this means, there are two types of human being. One is that person whose heart is nice and soft and tender. And the difference between these two individuals is due to what? Not due to his face, not due to his tongue, not due to his nationality, that he is Welsh or he is English and he is from this country, he's Pakistani, he's Gujarati. No, this doesn't cause the differentiation. No. Doesn't matter which human being you look at, from wherever he is, the difference is made due to one factor, one underlying factor. Remember, all human being, universal, whatever language, color, black, yellow, white, green, doesn't matter what you are. Doesn't make any difference. The difference comes where? The difference between human beings comes where? Where are the two different types of human beings? One so good, one's not so good. The difference, one is a person who has that feeling, that remorse, that regret. The other person doesn't accept his excuse, his request for forgiveness. The first person, soft, tender, that he says, I accept I've made the mistake, that maybe I've made a mistake, I accept that and I seek your forgiveness, and I accept my excuse. The other person's heart is hard, is mutakabbir, pride, kibar, ghurur, and takabbur. He doesn't care, anger. Look at the difference between the two. Oh, go away, I don't want to know you, your excuse. This today you'll see in society, both forms of people. You see fathers like this, you'll see uncles like this, you'll see uncles, mamus like this, you see ustads like this, teachers like this, sheikhs like this as well. This is ma'ashara, society. So my brothers, why is there a difference between the two? Allah came to teach us, explain to us this, why this hadith. Big message in one hadith, massive subject covered. Our holy beloved Prophet wants to teach us this, explain this to us. So what's the difference between the two? That the heart is, if it's clean and pure, and the other one's heart is hard and dirty and pure with smell, stench. Yes, the heart with the stench, with the dirt, with the impurity, his character is in that bad way. And the first person whose heart is clean, pure, his emotions are in that pure, sincere way. So further stated, the person with a dirty heart who didn't accept that, the request for forgiveness, who didn't accept it, who didn't accept his excuse, is stated, his punishment is what? Now listen to the punishment. His punishment is this, that that person will be given that sin, That is just like a person, when he consumes somebody's wealth, oppresses him, does zulm, oppression, then he will rise in the hereafter with that sin. As if he's oppressed someone, usurped their rights, broken their rights, taken their wealth. So what's he got this punishment for? Due to the dirty heart. And what was his heart? It's pure, clean. The one who sought the forgiveness. So this is the message of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. What's the message? That correct your hearts, clean your hearts. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Clean your hearts, purify them. If you don't clean your hearts, then the dirt will accumulate. It will grow and your character and lifestyle and mannerism will become like this, impure. Why? Because if you clean something, take anything, when you clean something, then its condition changes, its face changes, its form changes, its characteristics change. Like these clothes I'm wearing, if I wear them 1 week, 10 days, 5 days, the clothes that I'm wearing, then how much dirt will accumulate on the clothes? The dirt, there'll be sweat and smell and dirt where I'm sitting. And thousands of things in a week, many things can accumulate dirt. After a week, when you wash the clothes, when I wash those clothes, after a week, then its condition will change, its form will change, its appearance will change, the qualities will change, the look will change. Do you accept this? You accept this principle? This imam adabat I've worn, if I go and wash it, then when I wash it, then after I wear it, after when I wear it after washing it, then its look, its appearance, its form will have changed. Yes, its look will have changed. Its feeling will have changed. In the same way, my brothers, these are our clothes that change when transform when our heart is dirty, starts to get clean. Say Subhanallah. The heart that's dirty and pure, when it starts to get cleaned and washed and purified, when the heart starts to get clean, as soon as the heart is clean and clean and clean, then its characteristics, its qualities improve and change. And how? Just like clothes, when they're dirty, they're clean, they become like this. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained that comparison to us. Become the heart becomes so soft, he'll go and seek forgiveness. He'll take a minute, he won't care. He'll seek forgiveness. Yes, I've seen big people, big status people, and they go to people with a so-called lower status, please forgive me, I've made an extreme mistake, because his heart becomes so clean and pure that he doesn't just look at dunya, rather he has fikr akhirah, the hereafter, that I'll go and present to Allah. How will I answer to Allah when I go to Allah? How will I answer to Allah? What has changed that person? Made him feel that regret and remorse. His heart has improved and changed due to the dhikr of Allah. When that person starts to do dhikr of Allah, then it won't affect your nose or your eyes or your stomach or your legs. That when you take the tasbih and say Allah's pure name, then it will purify your heart. It will purify your heart. Imagine this. But we are so ignorant that such an important thing, we're doing dhulam. We're doing dhulam. Allah says, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Has a Shaykh al-Hadith, subhanAllah, he has stated that the dhikr of Allah is great for this reason. What a beautiful point. Only the walis of Allah can explain this. But we are doing wrong with regards to this action. Has a Shaykh al-Hadith, something the wali of Allah, has stated that the dhikr of Allah has been said to be great and high status because he has the quality that it purifies, it cleans. SubhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala has made it the means to purify. Yes, you can see this. Read. And learn, who's saying this? As a Shaykh al-Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Not some minor personality, such a great wali wala, the wali of his time, told us this. Great point, he said. But who appreciates this? Who values this? Who values these words? Who has value of this point, tell me. And that you're listening to this, listen to this statement. What a great point I'm sharing with you. Today the heart is broken. A person from this masjid, a good personality, great person, he has gone into the mercy of Allah. He's left this world, he was a good person. And it was a good, I used to meet him 2-3 days ago, I met him. There was a good interaction, good connection. So now, the person cannot reject this point, that every person has to depart from this world. Maut, death will overtake all of us. That no human being can reject the point that he will die. Insan, no human being can say, I'm not going to die. The concept of death, everybody accepts. Every person from whatever religion he is, background, accepts that. Are you going to die? Yes, of course I'm going to die. And people are dying. So this is a big reality, truth. But Islam, it doesn't just cease at that point, they're going to die. Islam takes us to the reality, unravels the truth, and takes us to the hereafter. After death, you haven't died, you are still alive. You are still, you've become alive now. You were dead before. You were dead before. You were not living before. There was a dream at that time in the world. Now in reality you've come into the real life after death. Subhanallah, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Only Islam can teach us this. So a person has this understanding whose heart becomes alive when he does the dhikr of Allah, becomes clean. Then after cleaning the heart, after doing dhikr of Allah, these are the emotions and feelings and characteristics and qualities that arise in a heart. When a person does dhikr, these feelings come in a person's heart, nothing else. That's why I stated that the dhikr of Allah cleans. As soon as the heart is cleaned and his qualities, characteristics improve, he comes towards his genuine objective of life. Dunya love goes. And dunya becomes a dream, a vision, a mirage, and he sees reality of life. When he sees death as reality, then what does he do? Then he starts to shun the dunya and he runs after the hereafter, preparation of the hereafter. This is what's happened to him. You know, he keeps on praying tahajjud, he keeps on doing these actions. When have you seen him? He's reciting Quran. When have you seen him? He's just doing this and that ibadah. Why? Because due to the dhikr of Allah, the characteristics of his heart have changed, reformed. It's not through speeches, not through hadith, listening to hadith, through darus and speeches, lectures. It's a practical life. It's by doing. Wadhkurullah. Do it, Allah says, do it. Fadhkurullah. Allah says, do it. Allah doesn't say talk about bayans and speeches. When you do dhikr, this happens and that happens. Dhikr gives this benefit. No, no, nothing will happen. All your life long, I can speak to you about the benefits of dhikr, mention the hadith of dhikr. Nothing will happen. But subhanAllah, 1 second, 1 moment, I'm speaking about one moment, just one single moment with a true, honest heart. Close your eyes and do kalbi dhikr. Allah, your life will change, revive, transform. That my life went from here to there. That's it. That person, subhanAllah, he met me and he left me, but my dunya went from here to there. When you haven't even stopped shaking the hand of the waliullah, but you have succeeded straight away. Immediate. That's the current, the injection that you get. Does this happen or not? Tell me. 100% here, because not this 1 year, then I think about it. No, you don't even finish the meeting with the waliullah. He hasn't even taken hold of your hand yet, and the revival of your life has started. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That's it. Whatever niyyah he came with, the revival will come to his life. Reformation. We need to improve our lives, not talk. Don't just talk and discuss. Say subhanallah. What are we going to do with all these knowledge and technicalities, kitabs, etc.? We don't have so much time in life to just read and hear, because maut, death is running after us, running after us. It's sprinting after us. The qabr is calling us. The qabr is calling us. The grave is being prepared for us to be lowered. Our place has been selected. The stamp has been put on us. That very quickly, what's the quickest thing that's going to come to our life? Say loudly, maut, death. The quickest thing that will come to our life is death, and it will come without any advance knowledge. Don't know where it will take us, how it will take us, and when it will take us. It's not necessary you have to become sick, get a heart attack, cough, splutter, coronavirus, flu. No, 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 death has no link. These are excuses of the world that bring death about. They're just excuses. That for example, you can, if someone wants to grab you, you can wear niqab, veil, etc. and hide, but though that breath will over. But if you are not going to die, then you can go wherever you want. No power of the world can stop you. Say subhanAllah. Life and death is in whose control? Allah. So we shouldn't worry about the secondary things. We should have one concern. Maut is running after us. We need to prepare for death. That if it comes and grabs us from the collar, then the first thing, where will we be grabbed? The first place. What is that? What is that? That the grave is dug. The grave is prepared. It's raining, storm, winds are flowing, but it is being dug. Say subhanAllah. Subhanallah. The grave is dug. No one sees. It's a raining storm. What should we do now? He's died. How do we bring him? No, the grave will be dug. Whether you got clothes on, doesn't matter. Dig the grave. Dig it quickly. We've got to bury this person. Bury this person. Nothing stops me. I'll be buried. You'll be buried. He'll be buried. It's not a story. It's fact. 100% reality. It's going to happen. It's a fact of life. This is the real life we're going to go to after death. Tell me. But what's the point? Our hearts are rusty, dirty. We don't care. We have no regard. We don't care. We don't want to prepare for the death. And this is proof. Proof. This hadith I've shared with you, this gives proof that your heart, my heart, is dirty. There's dirt on its soil. We haven't prepared. Reality of our life has not come in front of us. There's a veil. There's a curtain. Then the loss What's the loss? The hadith I've shared with you. The loss is this. What? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'll tell you hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two things, Quran or the statement of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the hadith comes all the learnings. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated what? Allah says in the Quran, وَذْكُرُ لَكَثِيرًا لَعَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, look, that, what does this mean? Fala, success. And when you depart from this world, then your life should be improving whilst you leave. Easier whilst you leave. And you get the nice life in the hereafter and you should be happy. Oh, I'm out of this world. Alhamdulillah. Excellent. Be gone with this world. I'm going to the hereafter. I was stuck here. Oh, good riddance. When you die, that's how you should feel. Wallahi, there are people like this. The people, oh, I'm happy, so grateful. I was stuck in this dirty dunya. Pay these bills, relatives, please this person, go here, go there. I forget all of this. I want to get out of here. And he's ready for death because he sees the real life of the hereafter. But us, there's dirt, soil. We love this dunya that has no link with the reality of life. Let's earn this, make this, houses, buildings, shops, business. I'm upset, I'm down, I can't go to sleep, I can't earn this, I can't make this. If only so much broken heart we had with regards to the hereafter, the akhir. If only, what a difference. That when you go to the mattress at night, instead of crying for the dunya, I can't do this, I don't get a job, I'm upset, I'm down, I can't sleep, sleeping tablets. Allahu Akbar. Look at our situation. May the sadness of this world transform to the hereafter. Transform to the hereafter, that shouldn't let you sleep. And the sadness of the akhirah, gham. And what is that sadness of the hereafter? And that you see that this world is temporary, and you have taste in the deeds for the hereafter. In that sadness, there's taste. In the crying for the hereafter, there's enjoyment. In the desperateness for the hereafter, there's a beautiful taste. When you cry for the akhirah, tell me the truth. When you cry for the akhirah, tell me how much peace and contentment you'll have in your heart. Don't you get it? When you cry for the akhirah, say subhanallah. When you cry for the dunya, my work, my job, you'll only consume Panadol, tranquilizers, tablets, the antidepressants because you are sad for the dunya. But you don't have the sadness for the akhirah. How sad. What a weird situation. Why? Because you have link with who? With the world. But if you have the link with the akhirah, that's when sakoon, sakina will come. So we are trapped in this conundrum that we don't clean our hearts. And the Prophet ﷺ said that no deed is greater than the dhikr of Allah that can save you from the punishment of the grave. Now you take all the deeds, look at all the deeds, the spectrum from left to right. But the Holy Prophet ﷺ said from his beautiful blessed tongue, that's it. All the other deeds put to the side. The dhikr of Allah, there's no greater deed than dhikr of Allah that will come to your assistance in the first night. You know, Qazi Sahib? It's his first night in the grave. Look. First night in the grave. Then he'll realize that person who's thrown in the grave, that what was dhikrullah that the Rasulullah told you was the best, the greatest, the strongest deed that will be like a wall around you and ward off the punishments. It will ward off all the punishments. What deed is that? Dhikrullah. The child passed away. He was young. His mother's crying. The son was a dhakir, shakir. He used to love the dhikr of Allah. 25 years old, young, youthful, shaheed, martyr. And his mother's crying, went crazy crying for him. Crazy. Crying. She arrived to Rauza Mubarak. The Holy Prophet to his grave, the young son passed away. Imagine the mother, and she's crying there. She's Jannatul Baqi, my son, the son, came to a vision. He said, Mom, you crying, you're going crazy crying at me. Let me tell you what happened. The mother seeing this in the vision, and she was surprised that you've come, my son. He said, yes, Mom, why are you crying? Mother's crying. You're crying there, you're crying here as well. Let me explain to you. When I was lowered into my grave, said the son in the vision, and the questions were severe, the son said to mother. The questions were severe, strict, but alhamdulillah, I passed the exam. Subhanallah. And he said, I'm enjoying myself. You can imagine that what enjoyment I'm getting, all the things I've got and the luxuries and all the goods I've got. Why? Because he was a dhakir, great dhakir. Loved the dhikr of Allah. So the amal that Rasulullah is mentioning, that the place you're going to go to, your home, the grave, you're going to be lowered into the grave that's prepared to you in advance, and you will start your hereafter life there in the grave. And there, azab, I'll read the hadith. you are respected scholars present here, you have read the hadith, you know, you're aware about the azab of the qabr, the punishment of the grave, the sahaba ikram, the noble companions, what was their hal when they heard about the punishments of the reality of the grave? To save from the punishments, what the Rasulullah prescribed to us, what is the action? The greatest, most powerful action. Forget all the other actions and run after one action. What is that? The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah will save you from the azab of the qabr, the punishment of the grave. Shaitan has padlocked our hearts and our minds from this action. He's made us stop this action, run away from this action. Does anyone have love for the dhikr of Allah? Tell me. Does anyone have an attachment, a connection that Allah, I've got to go into the grave? I swear by Allah, if anyone had yaqeen on these words, then this is such an action that will save you from azab al-qabr. Then never will that person deny or neglect dhikr of Allah. That person will have a strong connection with a friend of Allah. Please teach me dhikr. Give me your company. Give me your teaching. Because it's a dangerous place, the grave. There's no more dangerous place than the grave, my friends. But what's the fact here? Our hearts are dirty, impure. Our hearts are dirty, impure. When the heart becomes pure, clean, you start doing dhikr. Remember, that's why we're doing dhikr. Soon as you start remembering Allah's name, then have yaqeen on this fact, my friends. I'm giving you the proof. What are the proof for this action? I swear by Allah, I'm sat in this masjid, I swear by Allah, that Allah's name, once if you say Allah's name, the effect, it will never go to waste. You will get hundreds of thousands of ranks, and it will remove the dirt from you hundreds of thousands of times over. How can it be that this will not happen? That Allah Ta'ala has said that this is the means to purity. Allah has defined this. Allah is saying clearly that for cleaning your heart, I have given you dhikr. Marmams. So if Allah has created this action, if Allah has created the qualities in dhikr, then will it not wash us? Will it not purify us? How can you imagine that it will not clean you if Allah has defined it as such? How? Wallahi it cleans. 100% it cleans. With love do the dhikr of Allah. Qalbi dhikr. The dhikr of the heart I'm speaking about here. Not dhikr using your tongue, it's okay, fine, say la ilaha. But qalbi dhikr, when you say Allah's name, maraqabat, silent dhikr, you 70 times greater. The pious predecessors have explained this in detail. Khafi dhikr is a great dhikr. That's why I stated, the mashayikh ram, you have to learn it physically from a teacher. Directly. Yeah, it runs around your body, through your body, 35 places, subhanallah. It's taught. It's not just one place, la ilaha illallah, that's it. No, Naqshbandi, 35 maqamat, 35 lessons, levels. All lifelong you have to make effort. What else do you need? If you're dying, what else do you need? And you're being lowered in the grave. And your grave becomes a portion of paradise. End of story. Wadhkurullah kathira, la'allakum tuflihun. You become successful. End of story. That's the objective. So the key to success you've got is hanging there by you. Why don't you do dhikr? What are you doing? Why? Because Shaitan's a bandit. He's a gangster. Stop you. Oh, don't waste your time. Just do this maraqbah. Forget that. Hold the tasbih. Or leave that. Read nafal. Redo some of the action. That's why I stated the shaykh, whatever he tells you, do just that. Forget everything else. He will give you the success. He will make you read Quran. He'll tell you to read nafil. He'll tell you to read tahajjud, etc. But with a system, with a schedule. And he will utilize your time properly. That what's good for you, at what time, what's more important for you, what's priority for you, what's less priority for you. He'll explain to you. He knows better. This is a gathering of tazkiyah, reformation, purity. That's why I'm explaining these points. Subhanallah. So brothers, yaqeen, strengthen your certainty. When your heart becomes pure, what does the Quran say? The verse of the Quran, if I know the whole verse in my mind, and I feel like I can present that reference to you as well, if I can recite it. Inna Allah, Allah says, Inna Allah ma'alladheena taqaw, walladheena hum. Isn't this Mawlana Sahib the verse that Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran? I think it's a verse in the 14th juz. Inna Allah ma'alladheena taqaw. Allah's Quran says that the people who are purifying themselves from the sins, the person who doesn't have the desire to sin, those people whose hearts are purified, subhanallah, those people are the muhsinoon. Then their akhlaq, their character becomes good due to doing dhikr of Allah. The heart becomes soft, he goes and seeks forgiveness. The other person's heart is dirty. He says, no, I don't accept your your request. So those people whose hearts are clean, pure, on small things, they run to others and ask for forgiveness and present the excuse with the fear of Allah. They put their hands together, they pick up their shoes and say, sorry, I'm wrong. Please, I was wrong. Please forgive me. I'm afraid and I've got a loss. I've done something wrong. What answer will I give to Allah if you don't forgive me? So these are good hearts, clean hearts. These people, Allah says, these people, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Allah says, these people are the muhsinun. That they purify their heart, they purify their heart, they purify heart. Allah says, that their heart becomes such that that person, he gets to the nearness of Allah, the closeness to Allah, says he becomes mine. That these qualities, when they are created, Allah says he becomes mine. He is close to me. He purifies himself and he gets closer to me. He gets closer to me. This is dhikr Allah. The more you clean yourself with the dhikr of Allah, you'll get closer to Allah, nearer to Allah. That's how a wali of Allah has become. Hazrat Ibrahim Madani Rahmatullah alayhi. Ibrahim bin Adam Rahmatullah alayhi. He was a king. And does anyone leave the kingdom? Tell me, does anyone leave his kingdom, his throne? For example, if you have a job, a big job, he doesn't leave the job. And we don't leave for this. Allah, for Allah's sake, we don't come to dhikr in the morning. We don't leave our beds, we don't leave our homes. What did he leave? He left his kingdom. His throne is not a minor thing. Leaving the seat, the status, the power, the authority. Yeah, take the kingship. I don't need the kingship. No, I've got love with Allah. Now I don't need this dunya. Subhanallah. Imagine. And it's not that we say, no, first I need this in the dunya, then I'll improve. If I get pray salah, I need to get this, otherwise I won't pray. We have conditions, preconditions, that if I do this wazifa, will I get this? Will I get that? In other words, that if I do wazifa, if I recite this, if I pray salah, will my problems in the world get easier? We put preconditions, then we do ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, please tell me wazifa, Shaykh, so I can succeed in the world. Is this why we do the dhikr of Allah and Allah's ibadah? So that we can succeed in the world. But he said, I leave my sultanate, my kingdom. Allahu Akbar. No bargaining, no transaction, no deal. Say subhanallah. No precondition. If you love Allah, then love Allah like this, my friends. We come to do dhikr. I'm not getting benefit from dhikr. You want benefit. First you want benefit, then you take dhikr. Imagine the difference. Imagine the difference. What's the benefit if I do this much tasbih, this much repetition? What's the benefit? When will I become wali of Allah? One brother, recently, some days ago, he said, I want to learn dhikr. I said, okay, definitely learn. And I said, okay, if you're with me, the Quran says, he said, will I get khilafat? Will I become deputy? I said, you are the right dhakir. For this purpose you've come? Subhanallah. I said, subhanallah. I said, I'm not a khalifa myself. How can I give you khilafat? Deputization. Tell me. Preconditions. So why do you have this desire for worldly things? Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah, he said, what a great sheikh, what a great personality. Imagine his night, his what he did, his ibadah, his nights, his efforts. Because he didn't have love for Allah due to greed. And what did he leave? Allah said, Allah, here's my throne, my authority. And he left the dunya and went to the wilderness. And Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah, one event I remember I'd like to share with you. He went towards the jungle, the forest, jungle forest, isn't it? Wild, danger, hazards, and a lion came. A lion. And the lion came, and his mouth wide open, roaring. Ibn Adam is standing there. Ajib, unique example. Ibn Adam, who for the sake of Allah left his kingdom, came to the jungle, left everything in the world. And in front of him is the lion, mouth wide open, roaring. So then he called out Allah, that he could have said, Allah, I left this for you, I left my power for you, I should have this maqam, that the lion's in front of me, Allah, how can this be? But never does the wali of Allah do this. What's his quality? That the higher he goes, the more he sees his sins. Until today, no wali of Allah has claimed that Allah, I'm forgiven, I'm pious, I can do this, I can seek this, I've got these qualities. He's not a wali, he's not a friend of Allah. He's a drama. That person, the more person is elevated and higher, he'll say, Allah, it's due to my sins I'm getting this punishment. He'll wake up in the night and cry, Allah, this azab that's coming, I consider that it's due to my wretchedness, that due to my sins that all of this is happening. This is the sign of the walis of Allah. This is the sign. And Subhanallah. He said that no one else is dirty in this world. Allah, I'm sinful in this world. It's due to my sins. These punishments coming is due to my sins. This punishment is coming. This disease is coming. It's due to my sins. Allah, forgive me. It's not the other people around me. Allah, due to my sins, why are you punishing the people? I swear by Allah, the walis of Allah think like this. They wake up in the night, they cry like this. We think the wali, oh, he says, I am wali Allah, Shaykh, and tell me, I'll raise my hands and do dua for you. Be accepted. No, no, no. No wali of Allah has ever felt this inside his heart. Ibrahim ibn Adam, he stood. Didn't say, lion, I can do this to you, do dua. Ibrahim ibn Adam, what did he do? Subhanallah. He had fear at that time of what? He was upset and down that the lion will consume me. What will I do? Allahu Akbar immediately became surprised, shocked. What's happened here to me? I'm a goner. I'm gone. The lion will consume me. Here he's feeling this. And subhanallah, what did he know? What his maqam was. And hear this now. For example, what do you know? The person, those who leave their homes for dhikr, and whatever sacrifice you give for the dhikr of Allah, do you think Allah will leave you and won't assist you? So when Allah saw this position of his beloved servant, immediately Allah Ta'ala announced, O Ibn Adam, ajeeb, weird thinking from your side, ajeeb, that you made friendship with Allah, and for the sake of Allah, you left your kingdom, your dunya, your home, the princesses, and do you not know that I am aware of this and you think I'll leave you in your time of need? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That today you speak about this lion, for you, that 50,000 angels are with you. Subhanallah. 50,000 malaika are going with the wali of Allah, Zakirin. Don't fear. Don't be down. That do the dhikr of Allah with love, with ikhlas, sincerity, and many, many things will come to your assistance. Many, many things. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Don't fear, because shaitan, he weakens our aqeedah, belief, makes us distant from Allah. When the Quran proves something, when the hadith explained this to us, when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed statements have said that dhikr is such a great thing that it will enlighten your graves, where you are going to go first after death. And today we're afraid, no, dhikr is not important, it has no effect, or leave it, there's no benefit of it. No, run. Hasten to dhikr. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Hasten to Allah. Hasten to Allah's name. I swear by Allah. Be grateful. Be grateful. Keep doing dhikr and hasten. And say, Allah, that today I have, and be happy, extremely happy that Allah, today I have passed my day with your dhikr. With your remembrance, such a great name, Allah's. The morning with the dhikr of Allah, evening with the dhikr of Allah, thousands of illnesses, thousands of difficulties, all will be removed. Why are you sad? Why are you distressed down? Nothing can afflict you. If the name of Allah is on your tongue, if the name of Allah is in your heart which is alive, then He has taken both this dunya and akhirah. Subhanallah. What else does He need? Tell me, what else does He need to attain? But insan is weakened. Aqeedah is weakened. Who? Shaitan. So never feel down when you sit to do dhikr. Then consider yourself high status, your good connection with Allah, great connection with Allah. Allah, your karam, your mercy, that you give me the tawfiq, ability to recite your name. What a great name, the greatest action. Subhanallah. The Ibn Adam, Ramtullahi, had this situation. You showed that Ibn Adam, 50,000 angels are with you to protect you, assist you. Why are you afraid? Let me show. And then when he announced this, and then when he came back to his consciousness and the lion came close to him, then he looked down. The lion looked down and bowed down to the feet of Ibn Adam and lowered his neck and said, you are stuck in the jungle, sit on me and I'll take you home. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. So my brothers, dhikr is a great action. The more dhikr you do, what will be the effect? Cleanliness of the heart, purification. Allah's Nabi Sallam mentioned two things, the dirty heart and the good heart. And the sign is given here that if we have the passion and the sincerity, that good passion, that our heart has the fear of Allah, that we run to seek forgiveness from people, we're afraid, and the small points we start to shake with regards to the hereafter, then our heart has become good due to dhikr. And if we have the other feeling where we don't accept the request, no, that, for example, why should I go and ask forgiveness from somebody? I'm this, I'm better than that person. We think like this, is kibar, pride, ghurur. I'm this, I'm that. No, don't think like this. Whoever it is, young, big, straight away say that I've made a mistake, I seek forgiveness from you. Young, old, higher status, low status, whatever. Subhanallah. is there anyone greater than the Holy Prophet ﷺ? And he's sitting and explaining that, is there anyone that I need to seek forgiveness from that I've done wrong to you? Someone said, yes, that this time you did this, and the whip was hit. The Prophet ﷺ said, okay, you can hit me as well with the whip then. Subhanallah. Imagine that. Okay, you can take revenge. He said, yes, I will use what everyone's watching, the Sahaba. And he said, I will also take revenge. He said, I will, please pick up your shirt, because you did the same to me, and I will take revenge. The Prophet lifted his shirt and showed his back. He said, I was waiting this, and he came forward and he kissed the back of the Prophet. Subhanallah. So my brothers, that the Nabi, our Holy Prophet, given us this lesson, how he made our hearts. This is love of Rasulullah. Not shouting out. This is the ish. The person who has love for the Prophet in his heart, then he learns all the tariqas of all the sunnahs. May Allah Ta'ala make us all true ashiks and lovers of Rasulullah and make us the dhakirin who remember Allah's name. Ameen. Recite the Rasul.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وعباده كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان. ودخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم استعبرنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم يا حيو يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت. اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت. اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا. يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا. يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا. يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا. يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا. اللهم عافنا في بدني. اللهم عافنا في سمي. اللهم عافنا في بصري. لا إله إلا أنت. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. اللهم رمبرهمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم رمبرهمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم رمبرهمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. تمام رئیس برز جو مریض ہیں ان کے لیے دعا فرمائے, اللہ تعالیٰ ان کو شفا کامل عاج نصیب فرمائے. اور خلصوص آج ہمارے اس مسجد کے بہت ہی موت پر انسان, بہت ہی نیک سالہ انسان جنہوں نے سالوں سال سے اس مسجد کی خدمت کی, ہر وقت دن رات مسجد میں نظر آتے تھے, جناب قاضی محمد یوسف صاحب اللہ کی رحمت میں پہنچ چکے ہیں, ان کے لیے خصوصی دعا فرمائے. آج شب جمعہ ہے, پہلی ان کی قبر کی رات ہے, اور الحمدللہ اتنے خوش نصیب انسان ہے کہ ساری دنیا سے ذکر کا ثواب ان کی قبر میں جا رہا ہے. ہم سب ان کے لیے بخشش کر رہے ہیں, ان کے لیے دعا کر رہے ہیں. اللہ تعالیٰ ان کے درجات کو بلند فرمائے, یا اللہ ان کی قبر کی آسانی فرمائے, یا اللہ ان کو بہترین مقام نصیب فرمائے, یا اللہ ان کو بہترین درجے نصیب فرمائے, یا اللہ ان کے کروٹ کروٹ بخشش نصیب فرمائے. جو بھی دنیا کے اندر انہوں نے کام کیے میرے مولا, جو مسجد کی خدمتیں کی میرے مولا, تمام کو ان کے اعمال میں شامل فرما میرے مولا, ان کے لواحقین کو پسمان کو میرے مولا, تو یا کریم ان کو صبر دے, اجر دے میرے مولا, یا کریم یا کریم. ہمارے لیے بھی کوئی ایسا سلسلہ بنا کہ جب ہم دنیا سے جائیں تو ہمارے لوگ اسی طرح دعا کر رہے ہیں میرے مولا. ہمیں بھی اتنا خوش قسمت انسان بنا دے میرے مولا کہ ہمارے مرنے کے بعد کوئی ہمارے لیے بھی دعا کرے یا کریم. یا اللہ کے خوش نصیب بندے ہیں جن کے لیے مسجد میں بیٹھ کے رات کے اس پہر میں شب جمعہ پر دعا کی جا رہی ہے, یقیناً تیرے محبوب اور پیارے بندے ہیں, ان کا کوئی عمل بھی تیرے نزدیک ہو لیکن سب سے بڑا عمل جو نظر آتا ہے اس مسجد کی خدمت نظر آتا ہے. یا اللہ ہمیں بھی اپنے دین کا خادم بنا لے, مسجد کا خادم بنا لے, دن رات ہمارے مسجد میں گزارنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ اگر ہم علم عطا فرمائے تو ہمیں علم سے خدمت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں جو چیز بھی قرآن عطا فرمائے تو قرآن کی لائن سے ہمیں خدمت نصیب فرما. اے میرے مولا, جو لائن تو ہمارے لیے منتخب فرمائیے میرے مولا, اس سے ہمیں دین کی خدمت نصیب فرما اور تو قبول فرما میرے مولا. یا اللہ تمام مغفرون کی محروم کی میرے مولا تو بخشش فرما دے. یا اللہ پورے عالم میں جو مسلمان اس بیماری کے اندر مبتلا ہے میرے مولا, ان کو شفا عاجل نصیب فرما. ہر بیماری سے, ہر مصیبت سے میرے مولا, ہر پریشانی سے ہمیں نجات نصیب فرما. یا کریم اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے ہماری ساری دعائیں جو ہم نے ذکر میں مانگی تو قبول فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی صحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون, وسلام علی المرسلین, والحمد للہ رب العالمین.